This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we are joined by Buffalo Zone, Washington Insider. He's everywhere, and he's with us this Sunday morning. It's Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning. Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
You know, there's no place I'd rather be than New Orleans right here, right now. And I suspect I'd speak for a lot of Buffalonians at that point. But glad to see Josh Allen being the MVP, that's for sure.
You know, it's a small victory on the way to the big one, which is coming. Just got to have patience.
Which is coming. Faith, hope. Springs eternal.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, this is baseball season starts at the end of the Super Bowl, so this is out of left field. But a lot of talk this morning on the 33, and you being a Buffalo guy, you know the Kensington Expressway. A lot of talk on the state's plan to tunnel it. A judge has put that on hold for an environmental impact study. There are people called the East Side Parkway Coalition, and it's getting more and more popularity. They want to restore Humboldt Parkway, and we've kind of seen this throughout the United States with these massive highways from the 50s going back to more of a boulevard type thing. You being from Buffalo, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it is reminiscent of something that I covered when I worked for the Dallas Morning News in Dallas, Texas during the 2000s. And there was a huge highway. It was actually very similar to the 33 in that it was a canyon-like highway cutting right through downtown and just north of the tallest buildings in the city. And it really just shut that community from north to south off. And it was a scar in the landscape, even if it was expedient for traffic. They decked over it. They created a park. It was something that the city got behind, and ultimately it came to fruition by about 2010. I think it opened up, and it's fantastic, and everyone loves it now. So there are concepts out there. Boston would be another one, too, where removing a huge highway and turning it into a boulevard where there have been some positive outcomes, but it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of willpower, a lot of people rowing in the same direction, so to speak, and obviously Buffalo is dealing with that similar situation and a similar legacy, too, for building a highway back in the 50s or the 60s, that right now is just like, do we really want this for the next 50 years?
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. It's been, you know, in the news now for like over a year. You've got the state saying one thing, and people living along the 33. It'll be very interesting to watch, Dave. You know what else is very interesting? The last few weeks of DC politics. I mean, have you been able to take
you
a breath,
say, Joe? No, we expected this. So that this is you could see this coming from months and months and months away. That if Donald Trump was elected president, which of course he was in November, that he would be setting the stage for a, you know, a shock and awe, flood the zone, use whatever metaphor you want to on day one. And that's exactly what he did. So Washington, of course, is reeling from that. Democrats have really provided quite a listless opposition, at least up until maybe perhaps the past couple of days, in response to just what has been just a torrent of actions, executive actions, statements, declarations, proclamations, you name it, to the point where you're getting 3, 4, 5, 6 news breaks a day that on any other given day prior to Donald Trump's second term would have been the headline certainly of the day, if not of the week. And that, too, is by design. Donald Trump is trying to come in here and establish himself in such a way where his opposition can't focus on any one particular thing, or media organizations can't focus on any one particular thing. This establishes him as the strong and overruling leader that he wants to be, and also to allows him to set the agenda at every step of the way. I suspect we'll get to this in a moment, but that's been very effective and it's been working for now, but it's something that is going to hit roadblocks and already has in some very key respects.
Yeah, the big one this week, Dave, that you hear when it comes to DOGE and cutting out parts of the government is the USAID. And I have to be honest, I think a lot of people had never heard of USAID until this week. And yesterday we saw duct tape being put over the nameplate. What's going on with that?
Yeah, literally pulling the name off the agency. And, you know, again, most people hardly ever thinking of this agency. And I won't give you the whole chapter and verse on what it does and what it sets out to do. But I mean, this is the United States sort of soft power arm throughout the world. And it provides a whole variety of different services and tries to go ahead and solve different problems and nations from all over the world. And it is definitely an agency that has billions and billions and billions of dollars behind it every year. It seems like perhaps a logical target if you don't want to be providing aid to other countries around the world. But there are some things that already are kind of mucking up the drive and the goal that Donald Trump has to get rid of this agency or have it be subsumed by the State Department, which appears to be one particular goal. And I think of one thing in particular, Joe, which is that, well, the USAID has a huge food program for people who are literally starving or on the verge of famine in countries in Africa and some countries in Asia, Middle East. And that, where does that food come from? About $2 billion a year worth of it. Well, much of it comes from farmers in the United States. So right now we're getting reports of farmers in the Midwest saying, well, wait a second, I'm selling all this food to USAID. And now that's going to go away. I'm going to lose 20, 30, 40% of my sales if that happens. And, you know, that's a huge issue for people in Minnesota or Iowa or a lot of places in the heartland that are big, big Trump supporters. So that's a question. Another thing, too, is this actually legal? And this is going to be a question that gets asked with a lot of the actions that Donald Trump has taken, whether he's overstepping his powers, whether he is doing something that is not what Congress had intended with the money that it had appropriated. So we get into a question of balance of powers and the responsibilities of Congress versus the executive branch. So expect that the courts are going to be very, very heavily involved in this and a number of other different decisions that Donald Trump has made. And we've already seen pushback from a whole variety of different organizations that have sued the Trump administration. Some judges in some cases have stopped some of the actions that Donald Trump has put forth or that Elon Musk in Donald Trump's name has put forth and said, well, we're at least going to take a breath here. We're going to take a pause. We're going to hit the pause button and actually see if this is constitutional, if this is legal in the first place.
Now, you also have the Department of Education that the president has talked about. Now, to be the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, hasn't even been approved yet, and the president's trying to get rid of the department.
Right, and he's trying to get rid of this department and other departments, too. He's also trying to get rid of a whole portfolio of real estate through the General Services Administration, which is in essence the government's realtor that owns an incredible amount of properties all throughout the country. And so whether it's the Department of Education, well, does the president have the power to just simply say, I don't want this executive branch agency anymore, I'm going to get rid of it? And the question here really is the role of Congress at that point. They have the constitutional power of the purse. That means that if you want to get rid of a government agency, at least the understanding up to this point is that if Congress has appropriated money for a government agency to run, then that government agency should be there. And if Congress wants to change its mind, well, that's a decision that's up to Congress, not up to Donald Trump or any other president of the United States. So, of course, Republicans control the House. They control the Senate, although they have very, very slim majorities there. So the question then becomes, well, what is Congress going to do, and how much latitude is it going to give Donald Trump to do what he chooses to do? And then there is the question of the courts, which is the core constitutionality of this or any other decision, which is this something that goes beyond the power of the presidency? Donald Trump has not been elected king. He has not been elected emperor. He has been elected president of the United States. And the Constitution clearly spells out what those powers are. So if Donald Trump seeks to expand the powers of the presidency and courts say, that actually doesn't wash with our core constitutional document, then they're going to have something to say about this. And we've seen this movie before, so to speak, Joe, in other realms. Richard Nixon tried to expand the presidential powers back in the 70s. The courts knocked that down. Harry Truman, a Democrat, when he was president, he tried to nationalize the steel industry in the United States. And the courts said, heck no, not going to do that. So there have been historical parallels, imperfect as they are, where the courts have stopped presidents in their tracks when they try to expand their constitutional powers, or at least attempt to do so.
But Dave, is this the type of thing that eventually makes its way to the does everything eventually make its way to the Supreme Court?
It may, and there may be some things that that are well within Donald Trump's rights here, and certainly he can sign any executive order that he wants to. It just doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to come to pass in the end, because executive orders, they do need two things. Number one, they need to be constitutional, and they need to be within the president's power via the Constitution, but also, too, they need money behind them. So take immigration. Donald Trump has signed immigration-related orders, and he can definitely put those into motion. But if he wants those executive orders to be long-lasting, then he's got to get money somewhere for those types of initiatives to go beyond a couple of weeks or a couple of months. And we're heading back right into budget season next month, Joe, and Congress is going to have some very, very major decisions, which is going to be sort of maybe the biggest financial test for Donald Trump's nascent administration here, in the sense that Congress will have to decide whether it wants to fully fund Donald Trump's priorities for the months going forward, or maybe even the year going forward, or if it's not going to be comfortable. You know, here we are talking about cutting the size of the government and reducing the governmental footprint and spending less taxpayer money, but Congress will also be asked at that same time to fund priorities above and beyond where they are funded right now. So that's going to be a consideration for the appropriators in Congress, and ultimately the full Congress, when it comes time for them to vote up or vote down on what priorities to fund here in the United States.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You know, Dave, on social media, right, you've got half the country, hey, this is what we voted for. The other half of the country, you know, upset. I said acting like Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer and all that. Is that how it is in D.C.? Are Republicans, hey, this is what we expected from Trump, and Democrats, hey, you know, this is what we were afraid of? Or are do you hear things from some Republicans or some Democrats that might be different than what you hear outside of D.C.?
Yeah, well, you know, when you get to Congress and you talk to Republicans there, and I've talked to a number, both in Congress and staffers and people who lobby Congress, they say, well, it gets complicated when you get into the details. So all of this may sound really great to everyone who voted for Donald Trump, and that this is exactly what they wanted, that this is exactly what they expected, and anything short of this would have been a disappointment. They wanted Donald Trump to absolutely turn the government inside out and change the status quo, to rock this government out of its complacency and remake it in his own image. So, all right, that sounds great out of the gate, but what happens if Donald Trump, in his quest to get rid of about half of the real estate portfolio of the U.S. government, decides that, well, all right, we're going to close Social Security offices or post offices or VA medical facilities or farm service offices? So there's hundreds all around the country. You know, these are the types of things that people back home far away from Washington, D.C., they use on a regular basis. They depend on to conduct their own private business, the business of their family, the business of their community. So members of Congress, you better believe, are going to hear from their constituents in a major way, including Republican members of Congress, if there are things that are being decided on here in Washington, D.C., that have negative effects on people who are living in Oklahoma or Arizona or anywhere else in the country where those decisions are on the ground coming to roost. So that is going to be a big consideration for the Trump administration, and maybe something that causes them to back away from decisions that are being made, because ultimately they feel, okay, well, can't quite go that far because I'm getting my own supporters angry. We'll see how that plays out in reality.
Speaking of the president, we do get to hear from him before the game today, right at 3 o'clock. He will be giving the presidential Super Bowl interview, which is kind of a regular thing, right? Obama did it. Trump's done it. Did Biden do one, and now we're back to this?
Sort of, kind of, yeah. It's not a guarantee, but we're definitely getting one with Donald Trump today. I would pay very close attention to what he has to say about the Department of Government Efficiency, which is being led by Elon Musk, who's coming in and has made it very clear that he is doing this with an eye toward automation, he's trying to get access to huge, huge, huge amounts of data and literally feed it into an AI system in order to try to find efficiencies throughout government and areas to cut, where you can replace a human being with a robot or somebody, an algorithm. You know, this is very Elon Musk, what he's doing. So that shouldn't be surprising, because that's who he is. But Donald Trump also, too, from a strictly political standpoint and from a Donald Trump as a person standpoint, it will be very fascinating to see how long he will tolerate Elon Musk, because there's going to get to a point, or we may already be at that point, where Elon Musk is getting bigger, bolder headlines than Donald Trump is. And we know from history, from years and years, whether in politics or in business, that if somebody is no longer useful to Donald Trump doesn't want them around anymore and will fire them. You're fired. And that whether he is going to tolerate Elon Musk being really at the center of all the things that he's at right now and getting the accolades and the laurels, especially from many conservatives who feel like Elon Musk is doing a great job at this point, that may not make Donald Trump happy. So let's see what he has to say about that today. It may give an indication of where Donald Trump goes in the future as it relates to having his having the richest man in the world be one of his biggest partners at a time when Elon Musk, too, also has billions and billions of dollars himself tied up through his companies, such as SpaceX, as a government contractor, and has a direct benefit from decisions that get made in the very U.S. government that Elon Musk now is responsible for reforming under the watchful eye of the President of the United States in Donald Trump.
Speaking of Elon Musk, Dave, is there any truth that he has bought Super Bowl ads pointing out Doge's work so far?
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know, what that's going to look like in practice. So, of course, that would cost money in and of itself. But Elon Musk has been very, 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 very upfront in what he wants to do. He has his own social media platform in X, which he's used as a megaphone for announcing and supporting different aspects of what is being done and amplifying other voices, too, in ways that sometimes are truthful and sometimes are misleading or not truthful at all, such as the situation that we saw earlier this week about government spending on news organizations and where that was coming from and what that was all about. So these flashpoints, too, that sometimes are rooted in just falsehoods get turned into something that is much bigger and more inflammatory than anyone had ever expected.
Dave, you know, I don't know. I guess I just am reminded of this every 4 years, but it seems like these confirmation hearings, you know, we had the committee vote for RFK Jr. When do we expect that to actually go to a floor vote? Same with Tulsi Gabbard. When will we see more of these votes coming through of the bigger names?
Yeah, it'll probably be fairly soon for those who have gone through the committee process and have had a vote. And the ones you just mentioned, Kennedy and Gabbard, they have gone through committee. They have been voted up on party lines. And so they will likely go before the Senate pretty soon. We don't have an exact scheduled date yet, but that could be as soon as this week, almost certain to be this month. And these nominations, one way or another, they need to be voted on. The Congress is very motivated to get as many people into place as possible. They can't, of course, happen all at once, given the number of Senate-confirmed appointees in the Trump administration or any presidential administration, because they have to go through the process, and that takes time, and members of Congress can only be doing so many things at the same time. But expect those, since they are high-profile in nature, to definitely go through that process sooner rather than later.
Dave, any eyes in Washington being kept on Albany for this special election that Kathy Hochul is trying to move until November?
I mean, not a whole lot, at least relative to all the different number of things that are going on here in Washington. I mean, the city of Washington, D.C. has been consumed by the things that are happening in the Trump administration and federal actions. And I mean, we haven't even talked about some of the other flashpoints about, you know, wildfire recovery in California and what's going to happen with TikTok and Donald Trump proposing that the United States take over Gaza and Greenland and make Canada its 51st state. And then, hey, we are going to slap 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And then 48 hours later, just kidding, we're actually going to delay that for 30 days and try to do the art of the deal on a geopolitical scale. So, you know, it's one thing after another, after another, after another. So what's happening in Albany, or what's happening really at any other state level, is not the focus here in Washington, D.C., at least among the people who are sort of in the crucible, in the belly of the beast.
It is one. I have to say, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, I just remember what happened the last 3 days, Dave. I mean, but if you take the whole weekend to, account, I mean, we could have probably just done you and me for 2 hours talking about the week that was.
I'm not sure your listeners would love that so much, but yeah, we could fill up the time, that's for sure. And I mean, it's coming in two at a time, and I mentioned this a moment ago about big spending decisions. When we're talking about all these cuts that are being proposed or that Donald Trump is trying to do, most of them are coming from a very narrow slice of the budget. I mean, we've got, I'm not going to bore you here with how the budget works, but, you know, there's three big pools of spending. There's mandatory spending for the government, and that's Social Security and Medicare and programs like that that are enshrined in law. Congress absolutely has to act to change them. There's debt service, which is the interest that we pay on all the money that we have already borrowed. And then there's discretionary spending. And that's the stuff that we're really focusing on, that Donald Trump is focusing on. And half of that discretionary spending is basically defense spending, okay? And then the other half is the rest of the stuff, so whether it's USAID or anything else. And so all these spending cuts, not all of them, but many of them are really focused at that, you know, one half of what is, you know, maybe about a fourth of the overall budget. And so that's a question, too, is to, well, all right, if the goal here is to really save taxpayers' money and to really shrink the government, why don't we start looking at defense spending? Why isn't Congress looking at maybe changing Social Security and Medicare? Because that's truly where the big money is. And so expect that questions like that. Not saying that, you know, one way is better than the other, but expect Congress to be asking those questions about, well, all right, if this is more than just like shock and awe and we're really trying to save money here, we may have to make some hard decisions in order to truly save money and slim down the government.
Dave, are you watching the game tonight?
Begrudgingly, I am. I'll be dressed in red, white, and blue. Go Bills.
Go Bills, indeed.
Wearing my hat, wearing my shirt, my Zubas.
Of course, of course. Hey, Dave, always great catching up with you, and we will listen, we will hear you at 6:50 Tuesday morning.
I look forward to it.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.